Hello and welcome. You're listening to Poor in New York. My name is P.J. Benzaleski. On September 11, 2001, I was still a police officer. I was a lieutenant at the time, and I was working the desk when I received a call from the Port Authority Police. The Port Authority Police are responsible for the safety and security of all bridges and tunnels going into New York City, as well as all airports and the World Trade Center. Several minutes earlier, one of my officers called in and said he could see smoke coming from the area of the Trade Center. The PA police were asking for assistance, medical assistance, really, transportation. So we scrounged up all the EMTs we could and sent them to the staging area. By this time, the second building had been hit. We were also receiving reports that the Pentagon had been hit and another plane was unaccounted for. I was unable to get home until the next day. And like anyone who witnessed it, whether on television or in person, will never forget. So there's really no need to talk about this incident at this time. I'd like to talk a little bit about how the country has changed since that day. I'm not talking about personal stories, I'm talking about actually how the government has changed since that day. And I guess our lives will never be the same. Politicians, not knowing what to do, did what they do best. They started passing laws. On October 26, 2001, the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, was signed into law by George W. Bush. Several lawmakers who signed the bill were asked what was in it, and they said they hadn't had a chance to read it yet. I suppose that sounds about right for Congress, right? Well, we now have a law called the Patriot Act, and from this came the Department of Homeland Security, which is now part of the President's Cabinet. When I hear the words Patriot Act and Homeland Security, I start to think of perhaps the Gestapo or the FSB in Russia, and it wouldn't be long before people would start finding out that their methods were not dissimilar to those other organizations. Some night, when you're in the mood for a scary story before bedtime, read the Patriot Act, or the updated Patriot Act. That'll scare the hell out of you. It will probably take more than one night to read it, and it'll take several nights to understand what the hell they're talking about. Well, one thing they were certainly talking about was taking away some of our freedoms. Such things as sneak and peek warrants. Well, this is where the subject of the warrant has no knowledge. And then at first we had wiretaps without search warrants. Some of these things were addressed in the second edition, if you will. The Patriot Act was introduced in the House of Representatives as H.R. 3162. This was on October 23rd, 2001. It passed the House on October 24th, 2001, and the Senate on October 25th, 2001. And it was signed into law by President George W. Bush on October 26th, 2001. So it took all of 4 days to deprive us of some of our freedoms. The speed with which this was done should have alerted people then. I mean, how could you possibly know what's in this document? The document in itself isn't that long. What makes it longer is the changes that it makes to other parts of the United States Code to protect the traveling public. The Office of Homeland Security came up with the Transportation Safety Authority. All I can say is things went downhill after that. Chiefly concerned with air travel, the TSA employs screening agents in airports, armed federal air marshals on planes, and teams of dog handlers. One area that the TSA has been having problems with is the pat-down. The enhanced pat-down has always been kind of intrusive. The alternative is a body scan, but many feel that the scan is just as intrusive and may show indiscreet body images. Another complaint is how much radiation is released during these scans. Well, the federal government says everything's okay, so I guess it's so, unless members of the flying public start to glow. It certainly wouldn't be the first time that the federal government has kind of lied to us, or maybe just fibbed a little bit. Now, after all, it was Christy Whitman, the head of the EPA at the time, who said that the air quality around Ground Zero was okay. Now, it soon became clear that this was one of the little white lies that the government tells us. Unfortunately, this little white lie caused a number of lives, and those who didn't die suffered from a number of illnesses. I think that the administration thought that this would be the perfect time to make a new bloated bureaucracy for the public to deal with. The chairman of a House subcommittee recently said that the agency is bloated, screeners are often insolent and rude, and misconduct by TSA employees increased 29% between 2013 and 2015. The report said that employee misconduct of all types corrupts TSA's core mission to protect the traveling public. It also poses serious safety vulnerabilities. House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform leaders want to know how and why the Department of Homeland Security lost 165 firearms in 3 years. The news website Complete Colorado reported that DHS marked 1,300 badges, 589 cell phones, and scores of firearms lost or stolen between 2012 and 2015. Politico.com reported that former leaders of the troubled security agency say it may be suffering from a complacency gene. Oh, really? Maybe not. Maybe they just hire idiots. Or maybe the people doing the hiring are idiots. Or perhaps we've just come to expect too much from our civil servants. No, that's not it. Following is talk by Congressman Stephen Lynch on the TSA.
The way we pay and the way we treat these screeners. So that's a problem.
I'll give you another problem. I'll give you a headline that involved you from the Boston Herald, November 5th, 2015. Stephen Lynch, : TSA chief vows total overhaul after scathing IG probe. Like, it's if it's not one thing, it's another with this agency, Congressman. I mean, do we have any reason to believe that the TSA is ever going to be even close to effective?
Well, I would give this, is Admiral Peter Neppinger. He's the new head of the TSA. Took over recently. This is the guy that's threatening to fire because the lines are long. Remember, we had a 95% failure rate when we sent red teams in. These red teams are people who try to intentionally smuggle in weapons. You know, they'll strap guns to their legs or they'll have a fake cast with a knife in it. And we do that to test the screener's effectiveness. And we had a 95% failure rate in terms of the screener's in some of our major airports. So Neffinger was brought in to really address that problem. And he has set, like I said, he set up an academy. He's trying to professionalize the force. But so I would not give him the axe right now. I try to give him a chance. And I understand there's a lot of frustration out there, especially, you know, if you get to the airport 2 hours before your flight, you should be able to get on that flight.
Well, that's certainly true. You should be able to get on your flight, but you should also be able to get on your flight and not worry about someone having a gun or a bomb or a knife. And even if you survive your flight, you may notice some of your articles missing by the time you get to your destination. There are a lot of light-fingered screeners that I guess they want to supplement their salary. So they'll grab whatever they can. I recently read that one screener was observed taking upskirt pictures of female travelers. Just a little more proof that these characters are out there raping and pillaging. If not literally, certainly figuratively. I've talked with several international flyers, and all of them had something removed from their luggage. And when they tried to complain, the TSA gave them quite a runaround. And I guess an argument could be made that they were searching for that 90% of weapons that they missed before. I don't know how or why we didn't expect this. I say that, well, because the government is involved. When I was a police officer, we would joke that if you really want to screw up traffic, put a policeman out there directing. Government organizations can sometimes magnify problems. I shouldn't really have to say that. I mean, we all know that the government can screw things up without help from anyone. With as much incompetence within this organization, it's surprising we haven't lost 5 or 6 planes a week. If these screeners don't improve, sooner or later something's going to get through and some people are going to get hurt. Why do we have to wait for that to happen? Between what the traveling public pays for air travel and the taxes that all of us pay, something should be done. But lest we forget, this is a bureaucracy, and you know how slow bureaucracies move. Okay, those are my thoughts on the TSA and air safety. Well, that's all I have to say on that matter. So, until next time, my name is PJ Benzaleski, and you've been listening to Poor in New York.